Series. By the way, next Wednesday night, what we're probably going to do after we complete a series, what we typically do is we have a question and answers night, right? So next Wednesday will be our question and answers night. If you got Bible questions, bring them, especially if they're related to the mystery series that we just did. Seven mysteries and a lot of information, right? So if you have questions, bring them and we'll answer them the best as we can. The following Wednesday, just so everybody knows, we're going to start a series on the family. We're going to talk about dating. We're going to talk about marriage. Did I say dating? I did, didn't I? We're going to talk about dating. We're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about once the kids show up, what do we do with these kids, you know? What a blessing. They don't come with instruction. Everybody, you ever heard that? They don't come with instruction manuals? Yeah. It's kind of true, but it's kind of not. Right. Just not everybody knows where to find the instruction manual. That's all. But we'll go into all of those things. We're even going to talk about if you're at the grandparent stage, what can you do to support parents? I mean, all that stuff. And all the grandparents are like, no, you don't touch grandma. You let grandma be grandma. Listen, we'll just go and just talk about what the Bible says about family. All right? So the series will be entitled Family Matters. So we'll look forward to that tonight. Mystery number 7, the rapture. Look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. It's a great sign to put on a nursery door, isn't it? Think about that for just a moment, all right? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in a millisecond, really, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, talking about your body, must put on incorruption. And this mortal, the stuff that's eventually going to die, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Steon, if you would, open us up, sir. Amen. Amen. Be seated, if you would. I'm not going to go through every mystery. We've done that before. We've talked about the different mysteries that are found in the New Testament, the mystery of godliness, the mystery of Christ in you, the mystery of blindness in part happening to Israel, the mystery of iniquity, all the different mysteries that are listed in the Bible. This is the last one we're going to talk about. And it's important because it is the one that you should be, I would say like this, the greatest next event. Maybe not on your calendar, maybe not in the world's calendar, but in God's calendar. The next greatest event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. And what I would say is this. I would say it like this, guys. The world is looking forward to all kinds of things. They're looking forward to, the end of COVID and the end of lockdowns and world peace. And really what they're doing is they're expecting a kingdom to show up. If we can just continue to unite mankind and get everybody together, then eventually we'll bring in a kingdom that will show everybody that, man, mankind is the measure of all things. And we know that's not how the Bible ends the story. The way the Bible gives us a story is, in the beginning, God. Doesn't matter what you were taught in school, that's the truth. Right? Let me say that like this. If all that you are is the result of a consequence of some random accident in the cosmos, then I would say this, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If you're an animal, then I would say this, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Smoke it up, drink it up, shoot it up. You say, oh, preacher, I can't believe you said. If all that you are is the result of an evolutionary process that came forth by animals and a random consequence, then it doesn't matter what you do with your life. But if you were made in the image of God, if someone tells me, I believe we came from animals, I believe it doesn't matter, you know, there's no God, so on and so forth. All right, you know what? Put your hands up. Wait, whoa, what are you doing here? What are you talking about? Hey, listen, I want your car. That's not right. Who are you to judge? Right. If there's no right and wrong and I'm just an animal, I'm going to kill you because I want what you've got. That's what animals do. Right? You're different than that. God made you with a soul in the image of God. In the beginning, God created and it was beautiful. Three chapters later, you know what man does? He messes the whole thing up. He's got no bills. He's got no in-laws. Hallelujah. He doesn't have kids. Sorry, kids. He doesn't have any problem. Him and his wife have never argued before, and he still sins and messes it up, and sin enters the picture. And the only way it can be made right is for God to come down and become one of us. Emmanuel, God with us. And you know what the Lord does? He comes down, he gives his life, we understand that, and he goes back up and he leaves the church here and he says to the church, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. John chapter 14, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But I want you to understand this. This thing right here is not the same as this right here. At the very end, go to the end of your Bibles. Go to the very end, Revelation chapter 22. If you couldn't find any other passage tonight, I'd hope you can find Genesis 1 and Revelation 22. All right? Revelation chapter 22. How many of you are reading through your Bible right now? Man, that's awesome. That's great. Keep it up. Revelation chapter 22. I'm doing the same thing. I am in Leviticus, Miss Ashley. I'm in Leviticus. Amen. And cut the animal and let the blood spill out and the blood and the blood and the blood and then more blood and more blood. There's a reason it's all there, all right? Look at Revelation 22. Look, if you would, at verse number 20. You know what the message is? In the beginning, God. And in the end, God. In the beginning, God makes everything beautiful. For the last 6,000 years, man has made it a mess. You know what the last thing is that we're encouraged to do in our Bibles? To look for Jesus Christ to come back. Look at Revelation 22 and look, if you would, at verse number 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Talking about Jesus speaking, amen. That's what you ought to say when we talk about the rapture, amen. Looking forward to it. And it says this, even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know how your Bible ends? With a plea from our side for the Lord to come back. The next major event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to dissect that little by little. And I want you to notice it does mention there that we will all be changed. You know what that means? We need to be changed. Amen. Listen, if there is nothing wrong with you down here, there would be no need for a change. Can we all agree there's something wrong with us? Yes, sir. Even after you get saved, you know what's wrong with you? This flesh. And you know from the study we had about Christ in you, you are a body, a soul, and a spirit. And you know what you are? Your soul and your spirit, man, they're already saved. You're waiting for your body to get saved. And that's what this is all about. Notice what he says in verse number 51. We shall not all sleep. We'll talk about what that means. That basically means not every Christian is going to die. There will be some Christians alive when the rapture happens. Now, let me point out to you, Paul says we. You know what that means? Way back in his time, you know what they were looking for? Jesus to come back. You know what they were looking for during the dark ages? Jesus to come back. You know what we're looking for right now? Jesus to come back. You know what we go, oh, well, they've been saying that for a long time. Hey, let me tell you something. God has a calendar, and he's got a time for everything. Remember, when Jesus was here in his earthly ministry, he said, my time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. Then he says to his disciples, it's time. And you know what he's been saying for 2,000 years? Dad, can I go get her? Dad, can I go get her? Dad, can I go get her? And soon enough, you know, the father's going to say, go get her, boy. And he's going to go get his bride. You know what we are? We're the bride of Christ. Listen, it says this, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. You know what that means? There's going to be something, the mystery is found in two things. Number one, you don't know when it's going to happen. I've given this illustration before. I've told our kids, hey, we're going to be home at this time. Sometimes, you know, we come home a little bit earlier. Mom and Dad are home. What's wrong? Why do you seem shocked? What are you trying to hide? Listen, they love me, but they don't always love my appearing. And you know what Paul says about the rapture? He's going to give a crown to those who love his appearing. Are you ready right now for Jesus Christ to come back? Are you living such a way that you could go, man, I'm ready. I'm looking forward to it. I don't have anything to hide. There's no skeletons in the closet. Come on, Lord, let's go. Let's get out of here. Hey, let me tell you right now. There's someone at Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital that would love nothing more than be able to run, get up, jump up, and run around. He can't do it now, but he's going to. He's going to. You know what? You know what? The older you get, listen, right now, Gage, I love your hair. Beautiful hair, son. Nice. Looks good. But someday, you know what's going to happen? The white hairs are going to show up. Yeah, he's like, no, no. Listen, unless you're one of those foo-foo guys that gets just for men, it's going to show up, all right? And it's going to pop out. It's going to happen, right? And then eventually the bones do this. Here we go, ready? Oh. And you just get older, and eventually, you know what happens? You get wrinkly and pruny, and then eventually the organs stop working. And you know what you say the older you get? Lord, just come get me. When you're 15, you're like, ooh, I can't wait to get a prom, and I can't wait to get married. I want to go to school, and I can't wait to. And then you get older, you're like, done it. I want to go home. That's true. It's true. You know what the Bible calls it? The Bible calls it our blessed hope. Now, it's important to understand it begins with God. It ends with us saying, Lord, come. You know why? Because we made a mess in between. And this is something that you have to understand is different than the second coming. We're going to explain that. I've talked about it before, but I want to explain it a little bit further. Look, if you would, at verse number 42 in the same passage. Verse 42, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. You know what that is? He's telling you it is like this. All right. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. That's your body. All right. It is raised in incorruption. There is a new body. We'll discover that. All right. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Listen, when you take Jesus describes this, and he says this, take a kernel of wheat and plant it in the ground. Unless that kernel of wheat dies in the ground, it cannot spring forth. It's like this. When you get buried as a believer, if you die before the Lord comes back in the rapture, you know what's going to happen? You're going to go in the ground and you're going to become worm food. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to think about that. It's going to happen. I'm not saying to be a fatalist and walk around going, I'm just worm food. I mean, there's more to you while your soul is in here. But when your soul is gone, that's just a vessel. It's just a box. That's all it is. And let me just say this. Christ in you kind of feels trapped in this box sometimes. You know what we say? Think outside the box. Think outside. You know what you need to learn to do? Think outside of this box. And think about what Christ wants to do inside of you right now. He is just waiting to scream. He's waiting to come out and live in your life, through your life, and do things in your life that you never thought were possible. And someday, this body is going to be out of the way. Listen, think of it like this. Some Christians live such a life where their body is everything. And some Christians get to a place where they understand their body's kind of like prison. This is what's holding me back. You know why I argue with my spouse like I shouldn't about stupid stuff? Sure I do. I never do. Do you know why you do that? Because of your flesh. Do you know why you yell at your kids and you lose your cool when you shouldn't? Because of your flesh. Do you know why you look at stuff you have no business looking at? Because of your flesh. Do you know why you accept friend requests online that you have no business accepting? Because you know you haven't seen that person in 20 years, and the first thing going through your mind is not the gospel. It's like, ooh, I remember when we were in high school, we did this, and we did this, and we did this. And you know what? You just want to relive the glory days? It's the flesh. It's the flesh, the flesh, the flesh. One time, Brother Donovan, when he was younger in Bible school, he's going around talking to some guys at work. During break time, it wasn't work time, and he's telling them about the gospel. He's giving them the gospel. And one day, this boss of his sits down and goes, Brian, it's just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he just sits there quietly. He lets the guy talk. He says, anything to say? He says, flesh, flesh, flesh. He goes, what does that mean? He goes, all you talk about is what you can, you're like a kid. All you talk about is what pleases you right now. You have no idea what's coming. You say, what happened? He had a chance to lead that guy to Christ. Now, here's what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is you've got to get beyond the box. And the Lord, this is what the rapture is all about. This is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. And you say, how does that, what is the timing of this? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to tell you right now, there are three main, if you're taking notes, there are three main passages in your Bible in the New Testament about the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15 is one of them. 1 Thessalonians 4 is another. And Romans 8 is another. We're going to look at all three of them by the end of the night. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. All right, the reference to sleep is not the sleep of your soul. Anybody ever come across a Jehovah's Witness before? All right, they believe in something called soul sleep. It's kind of funny. Years ago, I did a thing on defending the faith, and I talked about Jehovah's Witnesses. And that thing was recorded like 7 years ago. I mean, a long time ago. And recently, some guy came across it, a Jehovah's Witness. He's like, you have mischaracterized. I'm like, well, that was 7 years ago, so I'm not answering that. But anyways, what they believe is they believe that whenever you die, your soul goes into a state of like, is dormant. And there's nothing going on in your soul. The Bible never says that. The Bible is very clear that the part of you that is asleep is your body. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and look if you would at verse number 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are, now look, it's really simple if you just compare the Bible with itself. That we which are, what are the next two words, or next three words? Alive and remain. You know what the context is of his conversation? The rapture of the church. We which are alive and remain, he says, what verse was that, guys? Help me out here. Thank you. Under the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are what? So there's a contrast between those that are, is this really that deep? It's really simple. Those that are alive versus those that are asleep. Now, what part of you was alive? Your body. That's the context of the thing. He's saying, look, at the rapture, there's two categories of people. Those that are alive at the time that Jesus comes back, if the rapture happened right now and you're a born-again child of God, he's describing you as those that are alive and remain. Let's say brother Paul Samson, love that man, used to sit right up here. You know what he's rejoicing with Jesus Christ. His body's down here. They have a soul in that new body are restarted. He says, we're not caught up together with them. Who's the them? Those which were asleep. Them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Did you see that? Did you notice that this reads very differently from Matthew 24? Did you notice this reads very differently than Revelation 19? You know what Revelation 19 talks about? Revelation, that's the second advent, the second one. Revelation chapter 1. We're going to compare some Bible and learn some things about the differences, okay? Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1, and look if you would at verse number 7. Can I ask you a question? What's mysterious about something that the whole world sees? Nothing mysterious about that. If tonight you went outside, a big ball of fire explodes, and then you see like this ginormous army flying from outer space on white horses, it might scare you, but you wouldn't be like, what a mystery. Right? You'd be like, let's go run and hide. And that's what happens when the Lord comes back in Revelation 19, on this side, after the tribulation. But this is not like this. This, what we're talking about tonight, is a mystery. The world doesn't see it happen. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that is when we are changed and taken out of here. That is vastly different than every, look at what it says in verse 7. It says, every eye shall see him. Doesn't it? Well, listen, that's not what happens over here. this and this cannot be conflated. You can't mix them and make them the same thing. There are people that have been trying for the last couple of years to teach that basically this is kind of overlapped in this, and they use Matthew 24, and I don't mean this to be mean, disrespectful, anything else, but it's because they can't rightly divide their Bible. And they try to make you as a Christian go through part of the tribulation, and before it gets really bad, you get taken out of here, and then you come back. The thing is, that doesn't jive with anything that Paul says, all right? And so notice, this is a mystery. This is a matter of revelation, where he just shows up, and everybody sees him. This is a moment in the twinkling of an eye. This is a battle, where he comes back, Revelation 19, and wipes out the armies of the Antichrist. This, we meet him in the clouds. Here he comes down to the ground. You will not find in 1 Thessalonians 4, in John 14, in Romans chapter 8, in 1 Corinthians 15, you will not find where the Lord Jesus in the rapture comes all the way down to the earth. Didn't you just read that we meet him in the clouds, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? And so shall we ever be with the Lord? Don't you think if Paul thought that this was the same as this, that he would say, we meet him in the clouds, and then we come right back down and blow everything up? He didn't say that. He says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know why? Because the context of the conversation about this is about you being with the Lord forever. Okay? Listen, our bodies are changed in the rapture. There's no mention of that at the second coming at all. When he comes down to this, to put his kingdom on the earth, he is revealed, and he shows himself, and he shows, look at the nails in my hand, but nothing is mentioned in Revelation 19 or in Matthew 24 or any other passage about the second advent, all right, where bodies are changed. Our bodies are changed when we go up, all right? And notice he says at the last trump, all right? And that's not Barron or Donald J. or Donald Jr. or any of those, all right? It's a reference. Some of you are so tuned into the news, I just say Trump, and you're like. Or if I said Biden, so you do the same thing. Just stop it. Get over it. All right? The last Trump, the Trump is a sound. It's a sound. Time out. This is why I'm saying what I just said, okay? In the book of Acts, you know what happens at one point? Paul says the word Gentiles, and you know what happens? They bum rush him, and they try to kill him. Some people today are being programmed. You hear a word and you're like, I'm not talking about a political figure, so calm down. This is a reference to the sound that a trumpet makes. The last trump. All right? Now, you need to understand something. In the book of Revelation, during the tribulation, there are seven trumpets that are blown. All right? But you need to understand, those seven trumpets that are being sounded are not connected with the voice of God. I'm going to show you that what 1 Thessalonians 4 is talking about is way, way different than what you read about that goes on in the Great Tribulation. But I want you to see, before we go any further, these two things are not compatible. They're not the same. The rapture involves the church. The second advent primarily involves Israel. All right, we've been through that before. We went through that in our study about Romans chapter number 11. All right, but I want to continue our thought here. All right, look at Romans chapter number 8, because what Romans 8 does is it gives us a different vantage point about the same thing. What 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4 do is they kind of give us the logistics. Here's what's going to happen when the rapture takes place. Your body's going to change. You're going to hear the voice of a trumpet. You are going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. All right? These are the things that we get from those two passages of Scripture. All right? But what you get in Romans 8 is a little bit different. Romans 8 goes a little bit further into God's overall scheme with this whole thing. All right. When you got saved, do you know what it was? It was God righting and making right in you. That's what you being made righteous means. You being made right in the sight of God. How did that happen? The way it happened is God put in your soul, on the account of your soul, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and he took the sin of your soul and he put that on the account of Jesus. Isn't that a blessing? You know, salvation is free, but it cost him everything. It's free for us. But I want you to understand, that took care of your soul. The body's another matter altogether. Do you know why God says in the Old Testament, no man can see God at any time and live? Because if you stood in the physical body before the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-eternal, all-present God that created the heavens and the earth, that spoke the worlds into existence, you know? And he said, let there be light, and man, boom, there was light. And he said, let the waters be divided from the seas from the firmament, and let the dry land appear, and there was the dry land. Now listen, some people go, oh, I just can't believe that. Okay, let me tell you another fairy tale. Billions of years ago, there was a bang. No one knows where it came from. No one knows how it got there. No one knows what caused the bang, but there was a bang, and that bang spit something out. Let's keep going with that. And it spit something out, and it was this atom, this molecular structure, and no one knows where that came, or the design for DNA. No one has a clue where that came from, but there it was. And then it was, you know, out from nowhere. It spun from outer space with no gravity and fell on planet Earth. And then it landed in the water, and it realized, I need a tail. So now I need a tail, but if I could get legs, I could go much further. And if I got legs, I could jump up and I could run around. And you believe that. But if someone says in the beginning, God, let me ask you a question. Did this chair come out of the, was this chair a result of an explosion at a chair factory? If I told you that, you would think I'm crazy. Yeah. Yet when I tell you the universe and the four seasons and summer and fall and winter and spring and the death of nature and the rejuvenation and resurrection of nature in the spring, if I tell you all that's an accident, you go, oh, okay. And it makes no sense. It's like saying that a Ford, that brother, I don't know if Brother Brad's here or not, but Miss Lori, that truck you have, I can tell you, that did not, there was a designer. Listen, you may not know this. They don't, in automotive industry, they don't have a designer that designs the whole car. They got a guy that designs the steering wheel. Then they've got a guy that designs the dash. Then they got a the electrical engineer that designs the thing in there. And you're going to tell me that your body that beats the certain amount of beats that it does, and if it beats too fast, you die, and if it doesn't beat fast enough, you die, and you think all that's a random accident, and that one component in your body that scientists still cannot mimic and imitate, you're going to tell me that was a random accident? Think again. There was a designer behind that thing. What I'm getting at is this, though, guys. Listen, that designer said, I've got a plan for you. That plan's messed up because of sin. So I'm going to put my image, if you trust my son Jesus Christ and you get saved, I'm going to put his image on your soul. And then there's going to come a day where I'm going to show it through with your body. Look at Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8, look if you would, at verse number 17. Romans 8, verse number 17. We'll go through the rest of this very fast. You listen fast, we'll get through it. Romans 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Are you a child of God tonight? Then you're an heir and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also, watch it, glorified together. For I reckon, there's Brother Paget, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's a glory inside of you. Some of you guys, older you get, the hair starts falling off of here, and you find it in here, and you find it in here. And what was once up here has now fallen down here, guys. Okay? All right? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. Now, have you noticed, ladies, I haven't said a thing about you. There's a reason for that. Mama didn't raise no fool. I know better than that. But notice what it says. There's a glory inside of you. You may not always feel like it. But you know why? It's Christ in you. And he's waiting to come out. Waiting to come out. And I want you to notice that there's a revealing of that glory at whatever this event is that he's talking about. Notice what he says in verse number 22. Or verse, 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves. That's why creation's a mess. That's why the world. Listen, you want to know what the real answer is about the dissipation of energy? In a closed system, when you have something spinning, and there's not some energy constantly coming in from outside, this is physics, and there's not some coming in from that outside that brings more energy into that thing, eventually the energy in that thing dies. So yes, our planet is dying. But it's not because, you know, someone drove their diesel truck down the road, all right? I'm going to go down that road. Anyways, the point is this. The reality is that's happening because God said it would. All right? Now, don't walk out here and go, Pastor said we can trash the planet. I didn't say, you know, throw your trash out the window. Woo, we're all going to get out of here anyways. Doesn't matter. I'm not saying to be disrespectful or to be a jerk. I'm simply saying that stuff is happening because it's the order that it's supposed to happen in. Yeah. okay? And ultimately, creation is groaning with us. They're waiting for something. What are they waiting for? Look what it says they're waiting for in verse 23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. If you're saved, you know what God did? He said, I'm going to do layaway on you. All right? Some of you kids don't know what layaway is. They have layaway? No. They brought it back, sister. It's not they still have it. They brought it back. Yeah. You know when? Hey, you know when layaway became a thing again? After the last recession. No one could get credit. And the store's like, what do we do? Junior, what do you think? I think we should do layaway. Brilliant. Let's do layaway again. And they brought back layaway. You know what layaway is? You know what it is spiritually? You get saved and God goes, here's my down payment. I'm putting the Holy Spirit inside of you. Ephesians 1, if you're taking notes, says that the Holy Spirit is the earnest of your inheritance. Earnest, not like Ernest goes to camp earnest, but earnest, like an earnest payment. It's a down payment. And so the Holy Spirit's inside of you and waiting for a certain day. And that day that we're talking about is the rapture. And the whole creation's waiting for this because they know when they see this happen, boy, we're getting close to getting everything right. Look, if you would, at verse number 23. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the what? Adoption. But wait a minute. Look back at verse 15. Verse 15 says you've already received the spirit of adoption, but you're waiting for it. Well, you've got the down payment, but you haven't experienced the whole transaction yet. Is this making sense yet? And so the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit came inside of you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you are waiting for this transaction to take place. Look, if you would, at 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3. When you got saved, John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, he said, the Bible says he came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We are the sons of God. Even you ladies, when you get saved, the Bible calls you a son of God. All right? It's a very interesting thing. Miss Jennifer and I were talking about this. If you're a man and you're saved, you know what you're part of? The bride of Christ. Now, you as an individual man, you're not the bride of Christ, but you're part of the bride. And ladies, when you get saved, let's turn this around. As an individual, you're called the son of God. You know why? Now, I've said to my girls, you know, you're a child of God, you're a daughter of God, but the biblical term is son of God. You know why? Because in the Old Testament, you know what the sons of God were? They were angelic beings. Genesis chapter 6, Job chapter 1. So you know what happens? You're going to be given a body that's going to last forever and ever and ever and ever. And you're going to be like the angels in this respect. You're not going to be married or given in marriage, what Jesus says in the Gospels. And you're going to have a body that lives forever up there. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. Now notice what it says. See, the words are important. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed. He's already done it, right? Upon us. That we should be called the sons of God right now. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, underline it, now are we the sons of God. You're already a son of God if you're a born-again believer. But watch what it says. And it doth not yet appear what we shall. Circle that, highlight that. What we shall be. I'm a son of God now, but I don't know how I'm going to look up there. I can tell you this, better. I mean, you go, oh, look at who are you talking about? You're old, and you're, some of you teenagers are like, you're old, maybe you're old, I'm not old. Listen, if you're saved, trust me, the body you're going to have up there is going to be better. Amen. When we're done with this study, we don't have time to get into all of it tonight, you're going to learn that the body you have is going to be able to walk through walls. And run up walls. Joel chapter 2. I mean, the Bible's sci-fi is bores me to death. You know, it's like, you know, it's to me, it's like, well, I read that before, you know, the forest and the darkness and, you know, the darkness is speaking to me, but I know that there's light and blah, blah, blah. It's all in here. But notice what it says. It doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know. Here's what we do know. When he shall appear, rapture, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And whoa, look at verse 3. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whoa, what does that mean? This hope, look at Titus chapter 2, and then go back to Romans 8. You ever seen the memes with the guy that has like a big board, and he's got like cutouts of newspaper clippings with like strings and everybody becomes like a crazy person. That's the Bible for me. It's all connected. Look at Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Just keep going to the left from Revelation, from 1 John, excuse me. If you get to the Timothys, you've gone too far. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 13. Actually, go back. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Talking about the life of Jesus Christ. Teaching us, believers, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Why should we do that? Because we're looking for something. Look at verse 13. I'm looking for someone to show up. There are times where the flesh goes, oh, come on, man. It's not a big deal. Nobody will know. One won't hurt. What's the big deal? Who cares, right? Yeah. And then there's another voice that goes, it may be at morn when the day is a-breaking, right? You know, we're talking about what? The fact that he can come back at any moment. Look at what it says in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope. Underline hope and write Romans chapter 8 right next to that. We'll come right, Romans 8:24, we'll go there in a second. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Now, notice what he says. We're looking for him to show up. Looking for that. You say, what is that? It's connected with a hope. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And then we'll go right back to 1 Thessalonians 4. You go, Pastor, I feel like we've been going in a circle. Yeah, because the whole thing's connected. Look at Romans 8. Look, if you would, at verse number 24. For we are saved by hope. You're like, wait a minute. I'm not saved by hope. I'm not like one of those hope-so saved people. I know I'm saved. He's not talking about what you think he's talking about. He's not talking about the salvation of your soul. That's found in verse number 15. You already got the Spirit of God in you. He's talking about the salvation of your body. Verse 24. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. That's what we're looking for. We're waiting for him to show up. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Look, if you would, down at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, God knowing us, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image. 1 John chapter 3. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All right, to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Notice the word hope there in verse 24. You know what that hope's connected with? The salvation of your body. Your body is going to be changed. You haven't experienced that yet, but someday you will. All right, now let me take you back to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll wrap it up for the night. We're not going to get through all of it. We'll have to finish it next week, then we'll do questions after that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Is that okay with you guys? I'd rather not rush it. I could do this like the Micro Machine guy and talk real fast, but I figured you... Now, if you kids weren't alive in the 90s or 80s, you don't know what I'm talking about. Anybody remember that guy? You know. 1 Corinthians 15, look if you would, at verse number 41. There's one glory of the sun, one glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. Now, that there's a couple words you need to pay attention to. As a believer, going through the subject of the rapture, because there's a couple words that keep showing up. All right, let me give you what those words are: glory, hope. If you're taking notes, you might find resurrection, and you'll find adoption. Talking about the adoption of your body, you'll find salvation, not the salvation of your soul that's already been done, but the salvation of your body. These are the things that keep showing up, all right? Romans 8, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, he says this, there's one glory of the sun, one glory of the moon. This is my very beautiful, distinct art. You can pay me for this later, all right? You got one glory of the sun, one glory, and I like stars because to me they're really easy to draw, okay? All right? So you got the, don't criticize. Don't criticize. Sun, moon, and stars. Now let me lay this out for you if you're taking notes. Malachi chapter 4 says that Jesus Christ is the S-U-N, Son of Right, not S-O-N, S-U-N, capital S in your King James Bible. the Sun of Righteousness. The moon in the book of Solomon, Song of Solomon, is a picture of the church. So here you have Jesus, you have the church, and over here, you've got individual children of God. I'll write it up here, children of God. One star differeth from another star in glory. There was an old song. Some of you that have been around a while might remember it. Will there be any stars in my crown? Remember that? All right. I think you're, what, are you 35 and you knew that song? Well, that's great. Amen. That's a blessing. Amen. All right. All right. I just saw somebody that's been around a while and she raised her hand. I'm like, I don't want to do that. You know? Stars. All right. Will there be any stars in my crown? Does anybody remember what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? It says this, ye are our joy and crown of rejoicing. The old song, will there be any stars in my crown? You know what it's talking about? People you lead to Jesus Christ. Right. In the Bible, remember when, think about this, guys. God calls Moses in Genesis 12 and chapter 15, takes him out of his tent. And he goes, hey, Abraham, you busy? No, Lord, what do you got? Look up. And he goes, okay, I'm looking up. And he goes, all right, I want you to count the stars. And he started, one, two. No, stupid, that was an illustration. You can't count them. You can't do that. But he starts counting the stars. You know what he likens the stars to? His seed. His children. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you, right? So you know what we get? We get adopted into God's family. And when we get adopted into God's family, you know what we are? We're one of the stars. Like, I always wanted to be a star, you know. There you go, all right? All right, there you go. So you know what you have? You have one glory of the sun. No one's going to take that glory away. You have another glory of the moon. You know what the moon is? It's a dead planet. The only light it has, and when it lights up, it's beautiful. But the only light it has is a reflection of light from the sun. The church has no light in and of itself. And then you got individual stars. You know what he says? He says, that look there if you would, in verse 41. One star differeth from another star in glory. I'm not going to pretend that I have it all figured out, but I'll say this much. When I get up there, even if we all looked exactly the same, even if. So I was taught it's very possible that when you get to glory, you look like Jesus Christ because you're going to be the Son of God. Some of you ladies are like, I don't want to look like a 33-and-a-half-year-old Jewish man with a beard, you know. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you that's the case. I'm not going to say that's a doctrine 100%. But what if? I know this much. We're still going to be able to tell each other apart. Yes, I'm going to go, hey, Miss Cindy. She's going to go, hey, brother, how you doing? But we'll know. One star differs from another star in glory. Now, I'll give you this to think about. We'll kind of wrap it up here, right? Look at Matthew 13. Go to Matthew 13 real quickly. Matthew chapter 13. You guys learn anything? All right, Matthew 13. The Bible's a pretty wild book, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Matthew 13. That's why when I meet someone that's like, I read that book once. I'm always like, did you though? Matthew 13, look if you would at verse 43. Now look what it says here. You may not feel like you shine a whole lot right now. Some days you may feel like no one even notices you. But up there, you're going to shine. Look at verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. You know why? Because we get our light from him. As the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 1. Stars are connected with the sons of God. Do you remember over there in Job when it says that the sons of God shouted for joy? Remember that? And it talks about the morning star. Jesus Christ is that morning star. By the way, the New Bible's changed Isaiah, where it says son of the morning to morning star. making the devil the same person as Jesus, which is not good. Let me just say this. You don't have to be a theologian to go, devil, bad, Jesus, good. If they're given the same title in one book, we probably don't want that book, okay? But look, if you would, at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I know this. I know that you may not get everything I'm throwing at you tonight, and that's okay. But I'd rather throw it in your direction and you go study it. And you at least go, man, I didn't know that. Man, I didn't know that. So you can go study. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light, watch it, that shineth in a dark place. You know what that dark place is? This present evil world. Galatians. Jesus says, work, for the night comes when no man can work. You know what he's talking about specifically? We're getting closer to nighttime. It's getting darker and darker and darker and darker, and you can't tell what's real. And I'm not going to do this now, but I will eventually do a study on biblical study on technology. And you know what they're coming up with now? You guys know about deep fakes and all that kind of stuff. You got situations where they can make you look like you're saying something you never said.
Yep.
Yes. And you know what that is? That's an image that talks. Revelation 13. There's wild stuff in this book. And you know what's happening? It's getting darker because we're getting closer and closer to this. But here's what you have to remember this, all right? As dark as it gets here in this present world, notice that Jesus came to the disciples on the fourth watch of the night. That's the darkest time of the night. The light shows up right when you think there's no hope. You know why? Because you've got one that's settled. The hope you have is not, oh, I hope he's coming. Oh, I hope he shows up. Listen, some of you ladies, I hope he's listening. You know, I hope your husbands, you know. And you may have people in your life that you go, I'm going to be there at 8:30. 8:30 rolls around, you're like, I hope they're coming. It's 8:45, right? Some of you are that person that keeps everybody guessing whether you're going to show up. That's not the kind of hope I'm talking about. I'm talking about a hope that's like, it's settled. I'm hoping for it because I don't have it yet. I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for this, right? And so essentially what you've got, look at 2 Peter 1:19, as in a light that shines in a dark place, that's you right now. There's a light inside of you. That light is Christ. Until the day dawn, and underline it, the day star arise in your hearts. If you can imagine when the Lord comes back, a burst of glory coming out of you. You know what the Bible says when Moses went up on top of a mountain to talk with God for 40 days? When he came back, his face shone. They had to cover his face. Imagine all that is in you coming out. I mean Christ in you. And then this body is done away with, and you're given a new and glorious body. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Next week, what we'll do, you ought to be looking forward to that. Next week, what we'll do is we'll finish it, and there'll be enough time at the end of the lesson for some questions. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Did you learn anything tonight? I hope you did. Amen. Hope you got some help. And let's close out in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the time to study it. Thank you for these dear people, Lord, that come, some of them for Bible Institute at 6. They've been here a couple hours. Lord, those that have been here for the last hour and a half in the nursery and the kids downstairs and all of it, we just thank you for all that are here. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them, that they would leave with a full cup, Lord, that they would consider, Lord, the fact that you could come at any moment, Lord, that they would be looking forward to and anticipating, Lord, the day that we call the rapture. Lord, we know that word doesn't show up in our Bible, but the principle and the doctrine does. We're thankful for it. We look forward to it. Lord, we pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We'll see you here Sunday, Lord willing, all right?